True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool Top Load Washer or Midea Top Freezer Refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Into the 1 o'clock hour here on WEEI. Dan Ball with you. And for the guys, Jones and Keefe here on this Friday afternoon. Happy Black Friday to you. Hopefully you've found some deals. If people still go out and do shop on Black Friday nowadays, I'm assuming that there's a lot of Amazon shopping that you can do just to be on the comfort of your own couch. And it is 40 degrees outside with a little bit of wind, so I can't blame you if you chose either one of those options. But if you're spending some time with us here this afternoon, certainly do appreciate it. You could join the conversation at 617-779-7937. We just wrapped up a stretch of Red Sox talk, and if you missed our Red Sox hot stove conversations, including those with Lou Maloney and Paul Hebbikidis, you can catch those on the Odyssey app or, of course, wherever you download your podcasts, and we'll have those conversations there for you. As Jackson just came in and chatted with me about, and he'll mention more about this in his trending report, the lines for the Bruins today: Alex Steeves, Elias Lindholm, Morgan Geekie. Then you got Mittelstadt, Kuznetsov, and Merkulov. Janot, Minton, Kastelic, Tufte, Corrali, and Azmont. So the Providence Bruins are on the ice right now taking on the New York Rangers. That game, I believe, is just dropping the puck right now. I think it's a national TV game, too, if memory serves. But a bit thin, and the names that are missing, Jackson will have a little bit more on that coming up later on in the hour. The New England Patriots take on the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. And it's kind of an interesting case study in what can happen between two mediocre teams when one goes one direction and one goes the other. Because think about how the New York Giants and the New England Patriots compared to one another coming into the season. Both were right back at the top of the draft board in 2025. Now, the Giants did have an established head coach who was certainly on thin ice coming into the season, but you had a young quarterback. They were kind of at the quarterback position a season behind where the Patriots were, where you had the kid who you drafted, who you were kind of just waiting for the opportunity to bring in, and you had the veterans in front of them who were kind of the shield on the front lines going out at the beginning, allowing the rookie to watch and get acclimated at the professional level, and then you put the young kid in. So it was fair to say that it seemed like the Patriots were maybe 1 year ahead of their development compared to where the New York Giants were. And then the seasons happened. Everything that has gone right for the New England Patriots has gone wrong for the New York Giants. They have fired their head coach. They fired their defensive coordinator. If they won every single game in which they had a 10-point lead and lost, they'd be over 500. And I believe the record was 7-5, because they've had five games where they've blown at least a 10-point lead. And most of those have come about halfway through the fourth quarter. They gave up 30-something points in the fourth quarter to the Denver Broncos and lost. They lost in overtime and blew a lead early on in the season when Russell Wilson was still playing to the Dallas Cowboys. They just blew a lead to the Detroit Lions last weekend. And instead of a 7-5 or at least 6-6, somewhere around 500 team, they are 2-10 and mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. So that is the case for every single thing, every fork in the road in your season that can go wrong does go wrong. That's what happened in New York. In New England, it's been a relatively fortunate run on top of the strength that you're getting in certain areas. So I heard the conversation with Mego and Lyons this morning saying, are the Patriots really as talented enough to be a 10-2 football team entering Monday Night Football in Week 13 ahead of their bye week? And I think if you break it down piece by piece and structure by structure, some parts of this roster, you'd go, yes, that's an AFC, NFL leading element of my roster. And some you look at and go, of course not. But I think the most significant parts of your roster, your coaching staff, and your quarterback absolutely deserve to have a 10-2 record. I think this is a championship level coaching staff and something that we appropriately rated, if not even underestimated, during the course of the offseason when Mike Vrabel was hired and when the coaching staff was put together. Multiple coaches with head coaching experience in the NFL, guys that are position coaches that have head coaching experience in the NFL. That level of strength of leadership is something that we knew was going to be a strength of the Patriots, but we thought it was going to be the strength of a 7-win team, maybe an 8-win team. But to be 10-2, that's a group that I think earns the moniker, yes, they're 10-2. The schedule is also a winner, a 3-star of the game. The schedule would dictate that you should be 10-2. So that's the naysayers, the Cam Newtons of the world, the fool's gold commenters of the world will point to the schedule first and foremost and say that's why you're 10-2.
I would not be surprised if they lost to the Giants.
So that leads us to the conversation that Tommy Curran brought up on this very time slot earlier on this week. Would not be surprised if the Patriots lost to the New York Giants. What are the reasons that people, more people than maybe I would expect, are so pessimistic about this game on Monday night? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is the injuries and the fact that I think there is a group of Patriots fans that feel like maybe the luck is running out on this 2025 team, maybe just starting to, because you were remarkably healthy to begin the year. Remarkably so. You recently have lost Kayshon Boutte, missed Tampa and missed the Jets game, and then came back against the Bengals, just 2 receptions for 15 yards against the worst defense in the league. Lost Christian Ellis, but came back and had 5 tackles and a quarterback hit. He was fine. Antonio Gibson gets hurt. He's out. Ramondre Stevenson misses time. 6 carries for 5 yards when he returns. Milton Williams on IR. And then Will Campbell goes on IR. So all of a sudden, you go from a healthy offensive line, remarkably healthy offensive line, healthy wide receiver group, and save for Antonio Gibson, your third string running back, at least a healthy duo of running backs. And a fairly completely healthy defense just in at all facets of the game, to now you have 2 new offensive linemen, kind of 2.5, because we're still not entirely sure what's going on with Morgan Moses. 2 new offensive linemen, a wide receiver one, and a deep ball threat that definitely didn't seem like he had that extra step against Cincinnati, and the leader of your defensive interior gone, and you kind of got gashed by Chase Brown last week. So that's what's accumulated within a 7 to 14 day span, which is why I think the pessimistic Patriots fans in the group are going, well, we had our run. First half Super Bowl champion, first half MVP, first half coach of the year. We had all that. But now reality is starting to hit. We're turning back into a pumpkin. And now we take on the New York Giants. At home, yes, but a Giants team that is expected to have Jackson Dart back, a Giants team that just fired their coach, and since firing Brian Daboll and bringing in Mike Kafka, have played 2 very tight games, have played 2 games where you were within a score or a Jameis Winston mistake away from at least forcing overtime, if not winning said game in overtime. So That's what you get. You also get a team who fired their defensive coordinator, a guy who orchestrated five of the biggest collapses that we've seen from any one individual team within a single season in NFL history. You fired that guy, and now you have an interim coach, an interim D coordinator, a young and up-and-coming quarterback, and a team that has nothing left to lose and nothing left to play for except for two different things. Either draft position or playing spoiler. And the Patriots have worked themselves into the opportunity to compete for an AFC championship, if not a Super Bowl, which means you've painted a target on your back. And teams that have nothing left to play for, like the Giants and the Jets, and to a certain extent the Dolphins, are going to want to knock you down just for the sake of the moral victory of, hey, we didn't have a good season, but we played spoiler to a team that we have some incredible history against. So the naysayer, the pessimist, the individual who believes that the Patriots have a chance to lose to the Giants and go into their bye and potentially string some losses together will probably point to the injuries on the offensive line first and go, oh, the Giants pass rush is the real deal. Drake May has struggled compared to his regular season performance, struggled against pressure, as most quarterbacks do, has put up some more pedestrian numbers when you are bringing pressure, extra players in the box, extra guys that are rushing. When that does happen, you've seen him make some mistakes. You look at Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Abdul Carter, who was drafted this year, those the players that will be coming after the quarterback, and you go, well, that scares me because you're playing Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown against a player who is having a tremendous season at racking up sacks like Brian Burns. But in poking around a little bit on what the Giants do, what their tendencies are defensively, you would be surprised how middle of the pack the Giants have been this season in terms of their pressure rate, the amount that they get to the quarterback, even the amount of hurries that they create. For the individuals that the Giants have, they do not scheme the way that you would expect this defense to scheme. It's not as much of a nightmare for opposing quarterbacks playing against the defensive line and the outside linebackers of the Giants as you would expect it to be. They are very, very average, say that 15 to 20 ranking in the league in terms of how much they're able to get to the quarterback. Now, conventional wisdom would say when you're playing a battered and bruised offensive line, this is their chance to feast. And I understand that, but Vidarian Lowe was a much better pass blocker last year than he was a run blocker. So there's something to be said for, you know, maybe there is at least league average play in there somewhere. I know that's optimistic. And if you use your eyes and watch the player, I know that it's not pretty. But he grades out league-wide as somebody who isn't the absolute worst of the worst. So the names on the pass rush should scare you. But the way they actually scheme their defense shouldn't really scare you as much. And Mike Vrabel said during one of his media availabilities this week, if they're able to change over their defense in a week, then they're better than us. So it's going to be pretty difficult, even with the long week, for an interim defensive coordinator and a new look, a new way of looking at coaching defense for the Giants to maximize what they have in their pass rush in 1 week. So I would caution against only pointing to it's going to be the pass rush that is going to be the problem. Also, and I think this is worth noting, their run defense is horrible. It is atrocious. It's second worst in the league in terms of average amount of rushing yards per game allowed, and it is by far the last when you get into the expected stats, the EPA per play. It is way down on the graph. So you're hoping for a return to health and a bit more productivity. Actually, not even a bit more, a lot more productivity from Ramondre Stevenson. And you're hoping for some play designs that get Travion Henderson to the outside, get him around the tackles and get him out into the open field. And I think that's kind of the key in what you can really expect from Josh McDaniels as he tries to scheme his way into some chunk plays for the Patriots. It's the quick hitters. It's getting the ball to Travion Henderson in the flats. It's dumping it off. It's quick hitters. It's moving up the field methodically and just grinding down the Giants. Because I'll tell you this, too. I know the pass rush has a lot of individuals to be worried about, Brian Burns chief among them. But the secondary for the New York Giants is also really, really bad. The yards after the catch and the air yards that their secondary allows, they have the second most air yards allowed of any secondary in the league. So if you give Drake May at least a little bit of time to throw, he should be able to get right back to that deep ball accuracy and completion percentages over 20 yards and all that kind of stuff that we've touted for him this season that he's been historically good at. Should be able to get back to that if you're able to buy him just a bit of time. So it's making use of the run game to try to distract from the pass game, to try to just throw off the scent a little bit for when you're going to take your deep shots, especially when they rotate some of those pass rushers off the field, if they do that at all. That's when you're able to take your shots, and the Giants have struggled considerably when it comes.
Struggling,
that's right, where you got to emphasize every syllable, struggling to be able to make any stops. The one element of the offense that I think is worth noting is the quarterback himself, Jackson Dart, and his propensity to run the ball. I think that folks that watch the Patriots and Jets game watch the fact that the only real offensive note for the New York Jets was when Justin Fields would tuck it and run. So I think there's a matchup to be watched, or hopefully there were lessons to be learned, I should say, on the Patriots' defensive side of the football of how to properly spy the quarterback, because the wide receiver group is pretty thin. Wandale Robinson is having a good year. Darius Slayton is in the mix, but there isn't any playmakers that jump out to even a T. Higgins level, so to speak. It's not as bad as where Christian Gonzalez was matched up against A.D. Mitchell, but it's kind of somewhere in the middle. But Jackson Dart running the ball is a key part of their offense, or it was under Brian Daboll. You also do have to wonder, will they try to scale that back? Because this kid has been evaluated for a handful of concussions already, and you have to have your eye on the future. So do they try to keep him in the pocket a little bit more, or at least roll him out but not necessarily have as many designed runs? I wouldn't be surprised if that's a move that the Giants make, but you're hoping that there were lessons to be learned from that Jets game against Justin Fields, because you have Lamar Jackson on deck, you have Josh Allen on deck, and you're seeing the Jets again. So you have guys that you know can run the ball effectively if you're not careful on defense. So to bring all of that together, that's the scout on the Giants, that's where the Patriots are weak, all of that comes together, goes, are you really worried about the Patriots matchup against the New York Giants on Monday? And I say, no, I am not. Because I think even the holes that you can poke in where the Patriots sit right now, injury-wise and, you know, just the matchups of the injuries versus the strengths of the Giants, what you have to understand is I just don't think New York maximizes the talent that they have on their roster, especially defensively. They have not been able to scheme their way to as much success getting to the quarterback as you would expect with the players on the roster that they have. So I don't think it's going to be quite as tough of a matchup for Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown on the left side of the line as you may expect it to be. But this could also very well be the kiss of death. And if those guys really bottom out the way that I think a lot of Patriots fans who are nervous right now think they're going to, oh my God, we have two backups next to each other on the left side of the line. Well, we thought that them having two rookies on the left side of the line was crazy, and it's been a decent pairing on that left side between Jared Wilson and Will Campbell. But we'll get further into the weeds on Patriots and Giants coming up next. We're welcoming on ESPN's Jordan Ronan when we return. He'll give us the latest on the New York Giants, his perspective on where the Patriots sit right now, and any comparisons that you can glean between where the Giants as a franchise are right now and where the Patriots are as a franchise, if there are any at all, because I know those are few and far between. We'll talk to Jordan Ronan of ESPN after Jackson Burns gets you caught up on what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Thanksgiving football over for the year. The Packers defeated the Lions behind Jordan Love's 4 touchdown passes, final score of 31-24. The Kansas City Chiefs, they went down to the Cowboys, 31-28. Chiefs are now 6-6 with 5 left and the primetime game, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase both return, and they dominated the Baltimore Ravens 32-14. The Bruins, they have started their game against the Rangers, and at one point, it was one shot, one goal for the Rangers. Bruins are down 1-0 now, halfway through the first period, with no David Pastrnak and no Pavel Zacha. So that's one to look at. And the Celtics, they have the day off today, but are back in action tomorrow afternoon against the Timberwolves. Patriots, as you know by now, have placed Will Campbell on IR with his MCL sprain. And both Morgan Moses and Jared Wilson were listed as did not participate in practice yesterday. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. And also, there's one more game on the slate for this week, the Friday Black Friday game between the Bears and the Eagles at 3 today. Pregame starts at 2 right here on 93.7 WEI. I'm Jackson Burns. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
EI.com.
Back here on WEEI, the Patriots and the New York Giants getting ready to do battle on Monday Night Football, final game before the Patriots bye week. The Giants are a bit of an enigma this season. The record suggests one thing. The close losses at the end of games are certainly another. So what to make of the Giants as the opponent this weekend for the Patriots? Well, that's why we welcome on Jordan Ronan, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the New York Giants. Jordan Ronan, how are you, sir?
Good. What's going on, Dan? How you been?
Things are good. Things are good. It's great to catch back up to you with you here in the Boston area. But you've covered another Giants season of Giants football that is ends up being a lost season for New York fans. So I'm curious, did you feel like 2025 could be a season that was different from the past couple when this team broke camp?
I don't know. We still had them. I think I had them at 6 wins was my prediction. So maybe a little better than they are, but. Certainly 6-11 is not a great season. There's hope with the young quarterback, Jackson Dart, who's going to be back this week. I think that gives it a little different feel, but the reality is the roster, top to bottom, still isn't good enough and wasn't good enough, and I think that's why we're sitting here right now, and they're worse than, you know, they certainly expect it to be.
What are the spots of the roster this year, Jordan, that have struggled the most for this group?
Yeah, they can't stop the run. Their depth on the defensive line is bad. Interior linebacker right now. They're beat up. They're struggling. And the secondary has been a disaster. Paulson Adebo, who's their number one cornerback, has missed some time. They really struggled to replace him. He looks like he has a good chance to be back this week, though, which should be a big boost to this team. But like, their run defense has not been very good. And their weapons as a whole offensively without Malik Nabers aren't great, right? I mean, obviously, if Nabers was there, it would be a different story. But right. Without him, like, who really scares you? Like, does Wandale Robinson really scare you if you're the opposition? I mean, he's a good player, but I don't think he's striking fear into the opponents. Neither is like Tyrone Tracy or Theo Johnson, right? The guys, they're players, but they're not guys that demand double teams consistently and strike fear into the Mike Vrabel and the Patriots on Monday night.
Yeah, they all kind of seem like they're in a spot on the depth chart that's like a spot or two ahead of where they need to be. Where if Wandale Robinson's your wide receiver two, for example, and Slayton's in the mix, and you got Cam Scataboo in the backfield, and then Tyrone Tracy's your complement, that seems like the kind of depth that makes a little bit more sense. But how big of a factor have injuries been on the Giants' record this year overall?
Yeah, it's definitely a significant factor. But they had chances to win games. And I think if you're the Patriots, that's how you have to look at it, is the Giants were winning in Denver in the fourth quarter. They were winning in Detroit in the fourth quarter. They were winning in Chicago in the fourth quarter. Those three teams have some of the best records in the league. So they certainly can be a threat to the Patriots on Monday night or any team, especially with Jackson Dart coming back. So I think that is the way, if you're New England, you got to look at this.
On the side of the, as we continue to kind of evaluate these elements of the two rosters going against each other, what can you tell us about the Giants' pass rush and how it's performed this year? Because the Patriots dealing with a couple injuries on their offensive line, so Patriots fans are certainly worried about Drake May's ability to stay upright in this one.
Yeah, look, this Giants team is that defensive front and the pass rush. Brian Burns is having an all-pro caliber type season. Dexter Lawrence isn't having his best year, but he's still a really good player. We'll see if he can make it on Monday. He's not practiced yet this week, but the Giants seem to be optimistic. Coach Mike Kafka said today, he feels good about it, about him playing on Monday. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, those are some of the situations. Like, if you go back, they beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
They beat the Eagles. Like, those games are games where their defensive line has been able to dominate. And with some of those guys, Abdul Carter is a rookie, hasn't produced the sacks, I think, but he has flashed at times. So that defensive line is still the strength of the team. Now, it gets negated if you could just run the ball down their throat, which teams have been recently, and that's why the Giants just fired their defensive coordinator. But we also could see some different things from the defense. There could be the one spike from a new coordinator, a new person running it, being more aggressive, a little different approach. It'll be interesting to see how they approach that banged up left side of the Patriots line and attack them, but I'm sure you'll be seeing some of the Giants' best players over there, trying to exploit those weaknesses.
Yeah, no question about that. Jordan Ronan of ESPN with us here on WEEI talking Patriots and Giants. So how about on the other side of the ledger? As you evaluated the league coming into the year, what did you make of the Patriots breaking camp, and what do you make of their current form entering week 13?
Yeah, I was kind of high on the Patriots. I thought they were pretty good. I know I spoke to some people here. The Giants thought they had as good, maybe a better roster overall. Obviously, we see that probably isn't the case.
Right.
But I thought the Patriots could be a team that could spike up. The fact that they play in that division, I didn't think Miami was going to be good. I didn't think the Jets were going to be good, right? So it's not the hardest division in the world. That worked into their favor. But hey, I don't think anybody predicted them to. How many in a row they rip off at this point? Is it nine?
Nine in a row, 10-2. Yeah, pretty
nine amazing. In a row. Like that's a pretty special run there. I don't care who you are, but yeah, certainly they've improved. Stephon Diggs is the guy from the outside you look at and you say, okay, that guy definitely that helps a lot for a young quarterback to have a guy you could trust to make plays on the outside for sure. And then Mike Vrabel is, everyone's just like, yeah, we know he's a good coach. He's shown it again. And, the Giants actually have a bunch of guys from Vrabel's staff here. The recently fired defensive coordinator, Shane Bowens, like one of his main guys. He was defensive coordinator there. The Giants' offensive coordinator now, Tim Kelly, was an offensive coordinator under Vrabel for a while. And he was the tight ends coach here for the Giants before Mike Kafka got elevated and named the interim head coach. So this Giants team does have a lot of connections and familiarity with Vrabel and what he likes to do.
Wonder if that is a bit of an advantage, or at least something that will certainly be a talking point amongst the coaching staff this week. But the quarterback.
Yeah, how about this though?
Yeah,
Vrabel could just go to his buddy Shane Bowen, who was just recently fired, and say, "Hey, you know, what do I need to know about
right.
this Giants team?" Right? Hey. So he's out there.
Yeah.
Possibility for him.
I mean, there you could also take it a step further and go Josh McDaniels could go right to Brian Daboll and ask a very similar question.
There you go. You never know.
Yeah, you got the full the name just came up, what's the story of Brian Daboll from beginning to end as head coach of the Giants and why ultimately did this not work?
Had a great first year and everything went right and looked like he was everything was tidied up, and then things just went off the rails the last 3 years. The reason it took him so long to get a job kind of worked against him. Like he's known to be very volatile, high strung, right? High emotional guy.
Right.
So those kind of things worked against him long term here. And also, you know, his offense, to be quite honest with you, and I know he is labeled this offensive genius and quarterback guru, like didn't prove to be the case for the most part. When he was calling plays, the Giants finished 31st and 31st the previous 2 years in scoring offense. So, Mike Kafka was the play caller year one and year two, kind of. They kind of, you know, split it. And then he's the play caller again this year when the offense has spiked up. So, yeah, it just didn't go well for Daboll. And the bottom line is if you're 11 and I think it was 11 and 34 at the end.
Wow.
Like, yeah, like you're just not going to be able to keep your job in this league. You got to win games. Like it's basically 3 years of not winning.
Right. And that first year was, I remember covering it when I was still in New York. It was magical. You were squeezing every drop out of Daniel Jones that it seemed like you could. And then it just didn't work from there. But you can't look at Jones's performance in Indianapolis and not at least think it's a little bit of an indictment on Daboll, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, he didn't do a good job. There's really no way around it. I mean, a lot of things happened under his watch. And I always say this, you don't go, they went 3-14 last year and then it applied to this year and the year before that, they went 6-11. You don't go 3-14 by accident. There's a lot of reasons. And he was part of a bunch of those reasons. So, long term, it didn't work out here for him as a head coach.
Before we wrap things up, the two young quarterbacks going at it, as you would assume, as I know Jackson Dart is on track to return on Monday. So what's jumped out off the page to you about Drake May in his second season, and what should we know about the early impressions of Jackson Dart?
Yeah, Drake May, it's just like, you know, first year was up and down. Like what's been that big difference? What's been the magic there? And Brian Burns talked about it the other day. He's so calm in the pocket, almost like too calm.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting way of saying it.
It was.
Maybe he holds the ball sometimes too long, I think he was insinuating. But he also viewed it as a big benefit. And like that's just innate ability, right? That's not something you can really teach. Either you have that, I think, or you don't.
Right.
So that to me has kind of stood out about Drake May. And the fact that, man, he's been the MVP running is pretty crazy and impressive. So kudos to him. And then with Jackson Dart, you just hope, you know, he could take some of the lessons that Drake May did his rookie year. Like last 8 games he's played dating back to the preseason, he had to have a concussion check 4 of those 8 times.
Jeez.
Right? Like you can't, and finally he ends up being diagnosed with a concussion, cost him the last 2 games. You can't play that way in this league. And so you can't keep taking the same hits. And so there's going to be a big focus on, and he did slide twice in the last game, but like when you're near the sideline getting out of bounds, not trying to run people over when you're trying to gain a couple extra yards in the second quarter near midfield, like these little things. So I think, you know, Drake May is the perfect example of, okay, can you take some of the things you did your rookie year, build on it and work and improve. But Jackson Dart has shown this when he's on the field, like he's dangerous. Like he can make a lot of plays with his legs. He can make plays with his arms, and the Giants, have shown that they can compete with anybody when he's on the field. So that makes this an intriguing game, even though I looked earlier, they're still 7-point underdogs.
Yeah, that seems about fair when you put all those pieces together. But intriguing nonetheless, and a good quarterback matchup of two up-and-coming guys. But he is Jordan Ronan of ESPN. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Jordan Ronan, R-A-A-N-A-N, and follow his work at ESPN.com. Jordan, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you for the time, and enjoy the matchup on Monday night.
Appreciate it, man. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. We'll do that as Jordan Ronan of ESPN joining us, getting us ready on the opposing side of things. So did you feel better or worse about the Patriots matchup on Monday night? I'll give you my...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Answer to that next. 617-779-7937, the phone number back here on WEEI. Dan Ball in for Jones and Keefe here on Black Friday. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Don't forget, there is a Black Friday football game that's coming up as the Philadelphia Eagles are hosting the Chicago Bears. So kickoff for that one is at 3. I'm taking you up until pregame coverage from Westwood One, which begins at 2:30. We'll transition over in just a few minutes to get into the Boston Bruins in the NHL world, the world of hockey, as the Bruins are taking on the New York Rangers and are already trailing 2-0 after one period of play. So it was the 10th time this season that the Bruins have given up a goal within the first 3 shots of the game. I was reading during the course of the break. Artemi Panarin scored, Carson Soucy scoring from the back end as well. So 2-0 after one there. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Thank you as always to Jordan Ronan of ESPN for joining us and giving us the opposing view of what the Patriots can expect on Monday night. And if you missed that conversation, catch it wherever you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app as well. And I posed the question to you and myself before the break. Did that conversation, getting more insights on the Giants and kind of what's going on, make you feel better or worse about what the Patriots can expect? And I would have to, I'll put them into 2 columns. I felt better about the fact that it really seems like there isn't much surrounding maybe there's even less surrounding the quarterback position for the Giants than I even gave credit for, where your Wandale Robinsons, Darius Slaytons, Theo Johnsons, Tyrone Tracys of the world really don't prove to be much of a threat. So I think that makes a matchup in which the Patriots secondary can really kind of take advantage and limit the amount of space that you're giving out there. So you're curious to see the matchups for Christian Gonzalez, and you're curious to see if Carlton Davis can build on a game in Cincinnati where I thought he was a little bit more visible. I thought the impact that he made on the game as that corner that's kind of playing, supposed to be playing opposite of Gonzalez, but sometimes will shade to the strong side of the field, and those two will kind of work as a tandem off of each other. I thought there were maybe some more impact plays in a game where the Patriots didn't have their A game, needed a few more stops, and so you kind of got a little bit more, honestly, than you got in some of the matchups that Gonzalez was facing. So it seems like the weaponry around the quarterback position isn't great. And I think there's something that came out of that conversation that really resonated in the comparison between Drake May and Jackson Dart. Now, these guys are built differently. They profile out as different quarterbacks. I don't think Jackson Dart will ever dream to be the type of pocket passer that Drake May has become in his second season as a professional. But the wild child nature, the I can run anybody over and I'm going to prove it nature of Jackson Dart's game that's got him hurt repeatedly since he made his preseason debut is something that we've been complaining about with Drake for the better part of two seasons now. The, hey man, don't try to be a hero. Either slide when you feel the contact coming or throw the ball out of bounds instead of trying to make some kind of hero ball play. That was maybe that was a top three concern at worst that Patriots fans had about Drake coming into year two. I was worried about his ability to deliver the ball consistently from the pocket. He's not only gotten a lot better at that, but gotten better at moving the pocket and just being able to remain a passer for longer. Something that he said he was working on during the offseason and in the preseason has really kind of paid dividends. And I think Josh McDaniels' ability to build a pocket passer in the NFL also has a lot to do with why that's gotten a lot better. But as year two was going on, there were still more than enough times of the back of Drake's head cracking against the turf that kind of make every Patriots fan hold their breath. There were more than enough examples of that to where we were worried about his ability to kind of work the hero ball out of his game. I think it's getting better. I think the decision making is getting exponentially better. There's still some left in there, but He's proven to be such a knowledgeable and cerebral quarterback that I think the learning curve has been a lot less to deal with for him. Taking that away from Jackson Dart is not something that's going to happen overnight. He's not going to come back from dealing with a concussion on Monday night and all of a sudden just be disciplined and not prone to mistakes and taking care of himself and taking care of the football. There are significant chances for you to try to create some turnovers and make him make some mistakes, whether it's rust or whether it's just being caught in the middle of, well, I want to be super aggressive, but I'm being coached to be super conservative. So how do I kind of find that middle ground? That's something that takes time, and it takes making mistakes for a young quarterback to figure that out. We watch that here. We've watched that all season, and the mistakes have gotten better, but they're still certainly not gone. So that becomes a huge question of, can you capitalize on Dart making mistakes as they try to figure out, what is this kid? I think there's a huge opportunity for that. And it's interesting to see that you can really draw some comparisons between the much more polished, finished product in Drake May and the very raw, talented, but undisciplined product that the Giants are going to be rolling out under center. I still feel great about this matchup. The commentary that we had about the myself and Jordan talking about the pass rush for the Giants, yes, we know it's a strength, but he even acknowledged that a new defensive coordinator is probably going to want them to be more aggressive. They have the personnel where they should be more aggressive trying to get after the quarterback. And I can't believe that all of that's just going to, you're going to snap your fingers and in a week's notice, they're going to be this uber aggressive, getting after the quarterback, making life a living hell kind of team. I think you might see individuals taking more shots. You might see them bring an extra rusher more often. You might see fits and spurts of that, but they're not going to immediately become a team that goes after the quarterback as much as they should, given the players that they have. So I'm not as worried about that. If you played the Giants in week 17, I'd be worried about that because then you'd actually have some time to work this out. But this all happened so quickly, I'm not really holding my breath about that element. And I really do think that the amount of the deep ball presence that Drake May has had this season is something that is going to be on display not even consistently, but when they do take their shots, you're going to be able to capitalize because the secondary of the Giants has just been really, really rough. So did any of that conversation deter me from thinking that the Patriots should be able to win this game by two scores? No, not really. And if you want to continue to prove that you deserve to be in the conversation with the best teams in football, this is a game that you win and don't really break much of a sweat. This is a game that you win running away, that you win on your terms, that you win because you stack together three scoring drives in a row. Things like that. Taking advantage of a bad opponent who just fired their coach and who has plenty of holes on their roster to expose. That's exactly what you're supposed to do if we are to take you as seriously as the Patriots want us to take them down the stretch. It's Giants, then a bye, and then Bills, Ravens, Jets, and Dolphins for New England. For the Denver Broncos, Commanders and Raiders on the road, then Packers and Jaguars at home, Chiefs and Chargers. Broncos have a chance after two games, though they're road games where they should be able to win. That four-game stretch at the end is a gauntlet for an offense that I just don't really know if they have any game changers other than the guy under the headset on the sideline. So I would wonder about their ability to keep that going. And then the Colts, I mean, Texans twice, Jaguars twice, Seahawks on the road, 49ers at home. A 500 record in those six games is an accomplishment to end all accomplishments for the Indianapolis Colts. So if you take care of business against the Giants, the division is completely not only within reach, but essentially one win away from locking up after your bye. And then you have to turn your sights onto the realistic view of winning the conference, because it is going to get pretty darn tough for the Broncos and the Colts in the final 4 weeks of the season. Patriots and the Giants coming up on Monday night, an entire slate's worth of Patriots Monday coming up to get you ready for that, or Patriots preview, I should say. The Patriots Monday interviews will come on Tuesday, but Patriots preview, kind of like what you'd get on a Friday, you're going to get on a Monday, including the afternoon's crew, Ted Johnson in the house for the Monday show, so the full preview coming on the afternoon program before that game as well. Before we bid you adieu and get you to coverage of NFL football here on Black Friday, a quick stop on the NHL and the Boston Bruins, where the Bruins sit right now compared to expectations. Are they legitimate, or are the injuries just too much to bear? We get the opinion of the Athletic's Julian McKenzie next here on WEEI.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.